Tom's company had sent him to a new town, had promised him a generous salary and a living allowance. When Tom arrived, he immediately found a lovely house to rent, and considering the allowance of which he had been assured, he confidently plunked down the required deposit, $5,000. But then the awful thing happened. On the very day that Tom had been scheduled to begin work, his union went on strike. Here he is in a new city, no income, no savings, and the sizable deposit he had paid could not be refunded. Well, Tom went to his landlady. She was a nice young woman in her 20s, and her name was Linda. And Tom explained to Linda what had happened. That he had no idea when he might be working again, but that he really did like the house, its architecture, its location. He wondered if there was any way that she might permit him to stay until he could start earning money again. Well, Linda was sympathetic, and yet she too was in a bind. She'd bought that house to fix it up for herself to live in, and yet when the cost of renovating it had proved too steep, she was forced to rent it out and move into the apartment above the garage. Linda loved the house, but if she didn't rent it, there'd be no way that she could afford to make the necessary repairs. And there were many. There was woodworking and roofing and painting to be done and mending fences and landscaping. And then Tom, smiling, interrupted. The situation was perfect, he said. Landlady Linda needed her house renovated, and Tom had nothing but time on his hands. And he, by the way, had done construction work, just this very sort of thing, and he loved it. Linda said she could not afford to pay Tom very much, just $7 an hour, but Tom said that would be fine as long as he earned enough to pay his rent so that he could live in this wonderful house. Well, the two of them shook hands, and Tom went to work with craftsmanlike skill and patience. He performed all manner of carpentry and plumbing. He made electrical repairs, in addition to which he tended the garden, and he lawnscaped the yard, and he painted. Tom took great pride in his work indoors and out, and as the months passed, he came to feel that the house was really his. And when the strike was over, Tom began his real job, and yet he would continue living in that same house, as he does to this day. For the town to which Tom had been sent in 1980 was Honolulu in Hawaii. He had been sent there by Universal Studios to star in a television series. For Linda, the landlady will never forget the day that a flat broke unknown actor begged to be hired as a handyman so that he could live in her home while waiting for a Screen Actors Guild strike to be settled, so that he then could start work on a new television program called Magnum P.I. Of course, by now you know Lucky Linda's personal handyman as Tom Selleck. Only now you know the rest of the story.
This hour of Sound Off on KPRL brought to you by Buy the Book Heating and Air, your local reliable heating and air expert. Call 805-423-5119.
238-5775. 238-KPRL. Sound Off continues on KPRL, the North County's number one choice for news, talk, and sports. This is Sound Off on the right choice, KPRL.
All right, we're back. Darsha's frantically looking for something, so I will turn her microphone on.
I know, let's talk about...
We've got
about...
two very good guesses on pigs, so keep them coming. One is a better guess than the other, but I will announce that at the end of the show.
Is it Darsha... like the Price is Right, where if you go you're automatically disqualified?
No. It's if you're close.
Okay.
Darsha's so
absolute
up.
Value.
Darsha's gonna get into poll watching stuff. I can look at all the papers that she's got, which is almost more than I've got, actually. But I wanted to cover one last highlight from the board meeting, and that's Measure M. I have been asking for months, and people have been asking for months, for a final accounting of the aquatics complex cost, which we still do not have. Patriotic individuals, intrepid individuals, have now started sending public records requests to the school district to get that information. My biggest concern, and what I brought up the other night, was the fact that we have not had a Citizens Oversight Committee in session for over a year and a half, which is a violation of Prop 39, and finally got Pawlowski to admit to it. So those that are not familiar, you know, under Prop 39, you have to have an oversight committee that basically monitors the spending and makes sure that everything is on the up and up. And we've had, Darcia's raising her hand. That doesn't work on radio when you raise your hand.
Can I point out the obvious, that it is called an oversight committee? So
right,
it's appropriately named, at least.
I've had complaints from people that participated in the oversight committee, which were basically told, "Hey, here's the information, just approve it." And I'm bringing this up because this is something else that I think people should think about going forward with this next bond measure. Yeah, if the community is not interested in exercising the rights that they have under the California Constitution here, it's another reason, in my opinion, why we shouldn't do a huge bond measure like that. And I'm sort of fresh out of trust right now with whether it's the school district, the local government, the state government, or the fed government. And for any bureaucrat to just say, "Trust us, we're spending the money fine, don't worry about it," is unacceptable, in my opinion. But the community is not really wanting to participate in this. And I've heard different stories why, but I talked to a couple people that were on the Citizens Oversight Committee, and I've confirmed that the last meeting was in December 2024. So over a year and a half ago, the school board's supposed to get an annual report. We haven't gotten a report for over a year and a half.
But money is still being spent.
And money's still being spent. So there are a lot of options that people have. I can't, you know, even if I wanted to, which I do, but I don't have standing to really contest this except making it public. But if you are subjected to the taxes from Measure M, you as a tax, you know, as a person that's participating in that bond, have the you have several legal options under Prop 39. Everything from filing grand jury reports to filing a lawsuit under Prop 39 to stop all spending and construction. But going forward, if this is the attitude that the district's going to have, because it was evident that Pawlowski knew that, he dodged my question for months, and I finally just, I had to ask him twice, "Do we have a Citizens Oversight Committee?" "Oh, well, we're trying to find people." "Okay, so we don't have a Citizens Oversight Committee." So again, we're in violation of state law now. So I don't know. That was probably, in my opinion, the...
So isn't there, in bureaucracies, there's always somebody that's supposed to be in charge. Do they know they're in charge, and what's happening with that position?
You're talking about the person that's being paid to oversee Measure M, who apparently lives in Texas?
Tell me about that, please.
So I've got to look at the job description still. I asked for a copy of it yesterday because I've been hearing that the individual that has been hired and is being paid out of Measure M funds to oversee construction, is my understanding, they're supposed to be, you know, executing the contracts, making sure everything's up to standard. They're apparently living in Texas, and they have been for
And that is a paid position.
It's a paid position. Okay. So I'll have more. I'll have more on that. But I've still got to research it. But
so what
you
can
know,
people
I still
in
have...
the community do? How do we, you raise the alarms and say, hey, this really is going on at our school district. I raise the alarm saying, hey, this really is going along with the elections. And we have amazing people out there that are listening. I know there's at least two. But we have amazing people out there
that aren't relatives.
Or the opposition, okay. necessarily. But folks, as a community, you know, this, if we can have an easy way for people, like entry level, to get to where they can have a say and be participating in the oversight committees or spend an hour of your time, come to some of the school board meetings, come to some of the different social organizations that are here in town. But I'm telling you, it's fun now. We actually can have fun doing this because we are winning. It doesn't seem like it. We are at war for the heart and soul of America and for the people who love America, love the Constitution. This is our 250th year. Let's keep going. So find someone that's like-minded and come and participate. If it's filling out a form, we could have petitions or initiatives.
Well, I'll tell you the thing that the school district's most concerned.
Signing and getting something going. If it's a form letter, just say, yes, this has happened. New California State has done declarations.
Public records requests are the things that really upset the school district.
I've done those. Brad Pulaski never even opened my public records request. Well, and all the costs of your special
election. So you can sue him over that, too.
I don't think he even opened it.
Do you have a return receipt capability on your email?
I'm sure I do.
Yeah. But, you know, yes, public records requests, that's like showing the cross to Dracula. They really get bent out of shape. But, you know, going back to the Prop 39, and then I'm done with school board stuff unless a caller comes in. That's my caveat.
How do you do a public records request? Every school district, every county, every public board that uses public funds has the ability to have a public records request filed. The county has a certain, you can do it online. It's very brief. It's very short. All you have to do is say, I'm looking for, you give your name, address, go to the county website and do public records requests. There's two different sections. One's administrative. One goes to the planning department. You probably want the administrative. And you just say, elections, I want the number of ballots that have been disallowed from being counted for selection. And at the school board, you go to the school district. And how do they file a public records request?
You can send it right to the superintendent.
Okay.
As a formal document. But if you go back and you look at, you know, other options, because there's so many issues right now in the district that have just been glossed over. And, you know, as I've always said, if you have a board of trustees that are more interested in being happy, happy, joy, joy, and getting pay raises and going on trips to Napa Valley or wherever, and they're not doing their primary function of direction and oversight and holding people accountable, nothing's going to improve. But, you know, options for the taxpayers on the Measure M stuff right now, you can do legal. This is from Ed Code 15278, subparagraph A. You know, you can have legal challenges by taxpayers, which are basically actions to restrain or prevent expenditure of bond funds. You could have legal option, other legal options, grand jury investigations, and then political pressure, things like that. I think it's most likely the political pressure that they'll respond to, but they're not doing what they were supposed to do on the last bond. I would ask you in November, think about that. And think about the yearbook, which gave another big middle finger to the community.
Now, Kenny, what do we have coming up in November that we may be able to change some of these
Thanksgiving. Marine Corps birthday.
All right. There you go. And District
and
1,
Veterans Day.
2, and 4 are up for election.
Yeah, the school board areas. They call them areas. So you have 7 seats on the Paso Robles Joint Unified School District Board. 3 of them are up for election. And that's Area 1, which is basically 24th Street going north up to the megatropolis of San Miguel. Then you have...
And west.
Area 1 is going out towards Lake Nacimiento. Area 2 is basically going up along the river to the megatropolis of San Miguel. And then Area 4 is essentially Union Road north to Wilsona Road. And the period to register to run is going to open up on July 13th, and you have until August 7th. Caller, go ahead. You are on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. I have to say, I hate being the one who always calls in with some sort of a complaint, but...
That's why we like you, though.
But here's my complaint, and it goes to all of you. You talk about all this stuff. You talk about what's wrong. You, in fact, give good information about all the stuff that's wrong, but there is never a path, P-A-T-H, for people to take to raise their concerns and issue their complaints. You know, you can write a letter to the school district all day long, and it gets nothing. So my request would be is that somewhere along the road, somebody develops a pathway for us to complain about these things. You know, you talk about Measure M, you talk about all the things that have gone in the past, but nothing ever happens with them because people don't know what to do about it.
Thank you. My point exactly. And that's why I was trying to at least venture into what can we do as a community. And that's exactly correct. So with the election side, I agree. I mean, I've spent 5.5 years, almost 6 years now, saying, here are the problems we have. Here's what's actually happening in our county. And unless we have these other things going on, we can't have true, accurate, completely counted, accurately, you know, elections. And so Kenny, at the same time, is looking at the school board going, what are you people thinking and wanting community support? And so part of that is attending the meetings, but part of it is also, hey, what do we do? What actually is, and you call it a pathway, how do we make a difference? And I'm letting you know that in 4 years ago, 5 years ago, it was crying out in the wind, you know, and we had no... visible support. And I'm here to say that it is a very different climate right now, that there are active investigations all throughout California. And I believe not only in elections, school boards, government, every level of government, it must change. Because when you have highlighting all of the fraud that has been going on, that is at the behest, you know, we are paying for that. And we are not getting representation. So I think the winds have changed.
And I think back to what you were just talking about, you know, a 330% raise for the school board to do what? To keep defrauding the public, to keep withholding information, to keep what the heck? And how do you fight that? How do you fight that raise? There is nothing the public can do at this time because we have not been given the power to do anything about it. You can write letters all day long; it means nothing.
I actually agree with her. Letters, and I'll be honest, I think the attending the board meetings as well, they, you know, look at how the speaker two meetings ago was treated, cut off mid-sentence in the middle of
his presentation. I watch those meetings. I watch them, and then I go back and rewatch them, and I rewatch them, and I look at the conduct that's being displayed by the board members while they're sitting there playing on their phones, playing on their computers when somebody's talking, and I'm just appalled by their behavior. But there's nothing you can do about it.
Well, I say there is, and that it is changing, and
well,
that
I'm a little more hardcore than you. The change, I agree, is taking way too long, and this is why I think we're at the stage of lawfare, and I'm telling you that
no, they need
if
to
you
be
want to show the cross
office.
To Dracula, you do the public records requests, and you start asking where all these documents are that people have been asking for months. And you put the weight of a lawsuit behind it. People don't want to play hardball like that. But I think that's about the only way you're going to, affect change. You look at, I am still disgusted by the lackadaisical attitude of the staff, the superintendent, and the board over the presence of carcinogenic material in the school. Oh, we told them it was, it's one sentence on page 42 of a 58-page document, and they think that reaches the moral imperative to keep your people informed and safe. It's
sad.
It bothers me. It's not taking care of people. And you've had, I've talked to probably 36 different families, teachers, custodial staff, and none of them were ever properly trained on this. And the district, I think, needs to understand your poor performance is putting this district in extreme legal jeopardy, in my opinion.
I agree.
Hammer them until they pay attention.
Thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am. All right. I'm cutting Darsha's mic off first, and I will be back in a minute.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL is brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
I'm Liz Klayman, and this is the Fox Business Report.
The major averages ending higher on investor sentiment about a possible Iran deal and as SpaceX makes its public debut on Wall Street. Oil plunging to a two-month low, easing inflation fears with West Texas Intermediate crude settling at around $85 a barrel. And shares of SpaceX taking off today and closing up around 19% above its IPO price of $135 a share, with the rocket maker's market cap above $2 trillion, making it the sixth most valuable U.S.-listed company and giving its leader, Elon Musk, the title of trillionaire. The Dow winners, Goldman Sachs, Caterpillar, and JP Morgan Chase. The Dow decliners, Apple, Amazon, and IBM. The Dow up 354 points. The Nasdaq higher by 79. S&P 500 up 37. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Hillary Barsky, invested in you.
Most investments today feel like second jobs. Real estate? You're a landlord. Stocks? You're a day trader. Crypto? You're a full-time researcher. You've got a life to live. Your investment should help you live it. That's why more Americans are choosing gold. Noble Gold has helped thousands protect their future with real physical gold. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com to get your free wealth protection kit. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
This Fox Business News update on KPRL brought to you by Stifel, your full-service wealth management firm since 1890. Stifel, located at 1337 Vine Street in Paso Robles. Call 805-238-3080. Stifel, 238-3080.
When it comes to sustainable energy systems and service, Central Coast residents trust Solarponics. Marilyn from Templeton says, quote, Solarponics installed our system almost 20 years ago. There are occasions when your system needs to be serviced. With Solarponics, work is completed quickly with knowledge and skill. This is as important a part of a solar company as the original installation. Thank you, Marilyn, for your Google review. When we install a sustainable energy system, we're installing a lifetime of as important service. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
Attention Central Coast homeowners. Is your water heater over 7 years old? If so, replace it with a heat pump water heater before it fails and save thousands in energy costs. Plus, new rebates cover up to 80% of the cost. Call or click to get a free, no-hassle quote today. Don't just go solar, go Solarponics. Solarponics.com.
The Sound Off lines are open at 238-5775.
I'm going to turn in Darsha's mic on for a second. This is what you get for being late. You were late.
On Sound Off.
So she was talking about declarations as an option, and I didn't know what a declaration was, but it's basically a letter. There, your mic's on. There, it's a letter basically saying my rights have been violated. And in the case of Measure M, I would argue that's a good route. And is there going to be, you know, legal repercussions against the district? Yeah, I don't know. But I look at it more as if you had potentially a lot of, you know, a couple hundred signatures on a petition saying you didn't execute Measure M the way you were supposed to, and you timed that prior to the next bond measure campaign, which is going to start hot and heavy. You know, that would have some political impact.
Here's what the declarations have done. So all throughout New California State, throughout the entire state of California, from people involved in New California State, at first they were doing affidavits because an affidavit has to be notarized and it can be accepted in a court of law. Then it went to declarations, which are the public, we the people, saying this is how my civil rights, my constitutional rights have been violated in this manner. This is the person that did that to me, like moving the precincts 15 miles away to be able to vote in person. That was the declaration. And when 100 declarations were gathered, they were taken down to the Board of Supervisors. They were taken down to the sheriff to get a case number. It might have been the Board of Supervisors. It might have been the county officials, the county clerk recorders. But all throughout the state, there have been over 80,000 declarations that have been filed. In our county alone, Darsha, it's over 1,400. Would you like to join the conversation? How are you?
Yes, take a breath for a second. Kenny, hit the switch.
All right, hey, her mic's off.
Darsha, Kenny, listen. I'm so proud of you for wanting to help the kids by making them work hard to get a reward. I think the reward would be they can go shoot a pig out at your place. But that way they can really bring home the pork or the bacon. But what would it take to get some of that and some other people's money to start a legal fund to put together and start filing some things against these outfits, because the only thing they know is, well, nobody will sue us.
No, you're correct, and that's what I was alluding to. I think that's the only thing they'll respond to.
Yes, exactly. No, I hear that all the time at LAFCO, at the Board of Supervisors, at the water meetings, at all this stuff is, well, we're going to do what we want until somebody sues us. And, you know, they got that wish in the quiet title. Now, that took a little longer because they came up with so many affirmative defenses, but we're in the final strokes of that. Their last affirmative defense is going to have a summary judgment here on July 15th, and then they're going to have their rear end handed to them, and then this thing finally be over, and they got whatever on their face for all the years of BS that they were telling people, and we couldn't get a majority of people over the basin to understand this is how you protect yourself. If you're not willing to protect yourself, who's willing to stand up for you?
Right. I mean, when I look at the school district, I don't place the blame on any one group, frankly. I think it's a societal issue. I mean, case in point, the board and the compost accelerator. Oh, I want a Ferrari. It's a composter. You know, you take your kitchen scraps, you throw it outside, and you have to manually carry that bucket outside. And then I have earthworms that eat it, and I collect the castings.
Why don't we have a plumbing class, and we just teach them how to hook up a garbage disposal?
Yeah, I mean, this is part of the state requirement to cut down greenhouse gases or something like that.
Yeah, whatever. But this subsidy garbage has got to stop. This is other people's money. This constant deal where they come up with these programs also to spend funds because they're at the end of the fiscal year or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we keep rewarding bad behavior and we don't reward good behavior.
Exactly.
If you're a disadvantaged community, maybe you shouldn't be a community. If you're having trouble and you need grant money every time to do something, it's time that you need some new leadership, because you shouldn't be having the same people that work, quote unquote, as staff that can't seem to get anything done.
Yeah.
This has got to end at some point where these people realize, hey, you want us to be self-help for roads and for this and that? Why don't the teachers be self-help? Fund your own stuff.
I had another disturbing conversation yesterday about the yearbook and the protest that took place back in January. And I had been told by parents that, you know, the teachers were using school resources to help the kids do the posters and put the posters out. Same thing with, you know, the publication of the yearbook. But yesterday I had a conversation with a very good source that said they actually stopped classes and had all the kids work on these posters.
You gone.
So
in the beginning when you were talking about the language and this 50 grand going to some sort of DEI thing and that stuff about language, how come that language didn't affect the written language and what they put in those photos and what they were saying at those events?
So federal law is that we have federal immigration, which what was in the picture was ICE. And so that is a federal immigration is a federal law. So if they want to follow state laws instead of federal laws, but they still want to get federal funding, I think what was in the yearbook was disgusting for a lot of different reasons. And if nothing else, it should have just been blurred out. But I do appreciate that they called out exactly who the students were that were at the protests.
Yeah. And
right. So do these people understand that those laws that ICE enforces are passed by Congress? That ICE didn't make those laws?
That's exactly where I was going to go. Because I brought this up to the some of the teachers that supported this and some of the board members. Why are you attacking law enforcement? And that's the biggest problem I have. And so jumping now, you know, at the protests, you know, they attacked their neighbors. They attacked law enforcement. They actually have a picture of the poster in the yearbook of the pig with the X's over its eyes and the police uniform, which indicates to me that, you know, they're advocating for dead police officers. And, you know, you bring it up to the board and they're like, oh, no, that's not what that means. I don't know where you come from. I'd lived in a more violent, you know, I had a more violent profession than you did, but. You know, when you have X's over something's eyes, that means it's dead. But what right now, you know, we got this long letter from the publisher, the editor of the yearbook saying, you know, you're violating our rights by complaining about this. All right. Well, let's just go with that argument. We violated your rights. You have rights to do a lot of stuff, but that doesn't mean you should do it. Especially if you're going to then turn around and ask the community for money.
Exactly.
So as far as I'm concerned, you know, those spoiled brats and the Marxist teachers at the Paso High, the same teachers that refused to do a celebration of America's 250th because it was, using air quotes, too political. It was too political to have any sort of celebration for America. But you're going to allow that in the yearbook. There's no section on America's 250th in the yearbook. So why do you... You don't like me, obviously. You don't like this country, but you want my money?
Yeah. So in May, first week of May, I got to meet a Captain Williams. And he came to our Ranchero Visitadores ride where we were celebrating the 250 with different military people. So for people that don't understand, he was given the Medal of Valor.
Medal of Honor.
And Melania Trump hung it around his neck from the president after a conflict that was 70 years earlier. It couldn't be told to anybody. The guy's 100 years old. He came. It was awesome. Yeah. I mean, it was just what a beautiful thing. But he's lived that long. I mean, he's still alive. But, I mean, that amount of time to do his duty and not be able to say anything about what happened when he's in a fight with seven MiGs and shoots down four of them. And he had, I forget how many bullet holes in his plane. He somehow made it back.
Mm-hmm. No, it's a famous story. He got it at the, he got the medal at the State of the Union, earlier this year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But we don't teach that stuff.
So
that's controversial.
What...
It's like the lady, the Romanian lady that said, you know, the high schools won't let her come and speak about communism. Because it's controversial. You can't come and tell the kids the truth.
Well, I think we can do that on some podcasts and stuff. Or maybe they've come. Maybe there's extra credit for that if you can come and listen to Dora's story and write something about that in your class on how a person, you know, the first time they saw a story or different kinds of things. We got too many sissies and babies in this country that have been taken care of way too long. I got a 3-year-old granddaughter that's smarter than most of the people that are graduating.
Now, all right.
So one thing I do appreciate, Greg, is when you're to the point where you've called out. You know, were you lying to us then, or are you lying to us now, or both? And so you've called out. You have the documents. You have the receipts. Hey, I have this document dated this date, you know, and here's what's in it, and here's what you said then. Is the Paso Robles water basin in critical overdraft or not? Because now you're trying to develop a whole new property. If there's a whole new property up in San Miguel that's trying to be developed, where's the water going to come from? You can't just say you have a problem in one area and not in the other if you're trying to now tax. Okay, it's a fee. So I appreciate that you're to the point where you're mocking and calling people out as being the water pirates and looking at and just going, this is insanity. And you folks need to be removed from office. And that is exactly what, go back to the Declaration of Independence. That's exactly what was happening, is they understood you need to be removed from office. A long train of abuses.
There's a whole new Brown Act violation that's going to happen from that meeting. So for people that don't understand, there was a project put forward. It was in the Planning Commission. We went to the Planning Commission. A person that was affected about it decided to write an appeal on them passing this project because of the stuff that was wrong. Then couple months later, the project went to the Board of Supervisors. They saw all the problems and continued the meeting to another meeting a month later, and they were working with a developer trying to solve problems with new information that the Planning Commission never saw, the guy filing the appeal never saw, and then they, at the end of the meeting, they put new information in the agenda that wasn't in the agenda packet for the people to see to be able to explain what they didn't like about that. They do this every day.
And I remember when you had already submitted a Brown Act violation, which is supposed to be relating to public meetings and noticing so that people can speak to what's on the agenda in a public meeting. And they had six violations. I think you had six on that letter. Had turned it into the district attorney's public integrity unit saying, hey, there have been these issues at the Board of Supervisors meeting. And I was there, you were there, and we're at the meeting, literally at the next meeting after that letter had been turned in to the district attorney's office, and there was another Brown Act violation. It was like, okay, Greg, where do I sign?
Yeah,
do I need to sign another one?
Bruce is a repeat offender, and the whole deal was to show that this is normal conduct of this individual at these meetings. It's not a slip or a once-in-a-while thing. It's an every-meeting thing where, just like the woman that was on earlier with you that speaks very nice, that, hey, it's time we do something. People need to wake up. Let's get it done.
All right, we got to let you go.
Thank you for standing up, and we'll stand beside you.
As the markets have their ups and downs, real estate remains one of the most stable assets in everyone's portfolio. Hi, this is Cindy Mims, owner broker of Colony Mortgage, voted best mortgage company in North County 3 years running. We offer conventional FHA, VA, and reverse mortgages and 100% purchase loans for first-time home buyers. Are you a builder and tired of the red tape when dealing with banks and expensive hard money loans? I have a great new option. Or are you 62 years or older? You can possibly eliminate your monthly mortgage payment and get cash in your pocket. At Colony Mortgage, we have hometown service with competitive rates. We have years of experience with creative financing to find that right loan for you. If it's credit issues stopping you, let us help. We move from our 20-year Atascadero location and now offer two convenient locations to meet personally in Atascadero and Paso Robles. Call 805-466-3598. Thank you for supporting your local businesses.
Junior, you know why my TV is turned down so low? Last week, I went down to see Peter Lussier, Hearing Aid Specialists of the Central Coast. He's a nice young feller who tested my hearing. He had me try on these nearly invisible hearing aids. See? They ain't got no buttons or nothing. By gum, I hear like I'm 29 years old. Call Peter at Hearing Aid Specialists. Dial 805-460-7385. Or use your smartphone and go to slowcountyhearingaids.com.
This summer, escape to the elegance of Allegretto Vineyard Resort in Paso Robles with the exclusive Tuscan Vita room offer. Stay two nights and enjoy 50% off your second night in a luxurious Premium Prelude King or Premium Prelude Queen guest room. Relax with complimentary self-park and Wi-Fi. Book your Tuscan-inspired getaway today. Visit AllegrettoVineyardResort.com or call 805-369-2500 to reserve your stay.
All right, we're going to go right to the call. Whoa, no,
there
we're not.
There you go.
Go ahead, caller. You're on the air.
Welcome back to Sound Off. Kenny and Darcia, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thank you. Have a question. That walkout that happened from the high school to, I guess they went down to Walmart. I don't know how far they walked, but I know Flamson walked a long way. Was that an approved field trip like they all have to do when they're at a board meeting?
Was that a sack lunch?
Yeah. Because that's not allowed by the that's a parental problem.
Well,
your
it's
kids can walk off campus during school hours.
You're exactly correct.
Yes, ma'am. It was 800 students. I can't remember the dates of each. They were a week apart.
Right.
So the high school was the end of January, and you, a student, have a right to take a protest day every year. Only in California would such a thing exist. But you can take a protest day, but you have to have a permission slip from your parent to walk out. And so 70 of the 800 kids that participated actually had the proper permission slip. So I have, they exercised, they followed the rules, they exercised their rights under California law. Now, there were per Paso PD, there were 300 students that participated in the protest at the Niblick Bridge. But only, again, 70 of the 300 had what had done what they were supposed to. However, there were 800 students that left the campus in total. So
they went to McDonald's and they went to Taco Bell. And...
Right. The school lost complete accountability of what is that? That's 600 and, or no, it's 730 students. That's unacceptable, in my opinion. Supposedly, teachers packed up and went home, and so, you know, it was...
Not only is it unacceptable, but if one student out of either one of those schools, out of any of those kids, had been somehow injured, you know, the school board, all they talk about is, oh, my God, their liability. They can't have swings. They can't have teeter-totters. They can't do this, and they can't, because somebody might sue them. Do they have any clue as to what kind of a suit they would have for this?
I brought that up, and I had a discussion with Loftus about it and the board. The staff's argument was they were in violation, those students that just left, they were in violation of school policy, and as soon as they left campus, the school no longer had responsibility for them. Now, I would argue, if I'm the parent of a kid who just walked out, I would want to know more about, well, is, you know, Mrs. Stebbins standing there with the gate, you know, wide open with the fist of power in the air, saying fight the system and encouraging them to leave.
Right.
Because if that's the case, then I would say they encourage the kids to leave, and the district does have
liability. Of course they did. They helped them make the posters. Of course they did. This was all with the instructors helping them make posters and arranging all of this. This was not just the students.
No, it wasn't some organic thing.
No,
it's even in, if you go and you look at the American Federation of Teachers and the National Educators Association, their plan for 2025-26 school year was to do stuff like this, and it trickled down to the PRPE, the People's Republic of Paso Educators. I'm sorry, no, it's Paso Robles Public Educators. I got that wrong. All right, sorry.
I read it right the first time.
All right, thanks.
We have another call. Thanks for calling in.
Go ahead.
Good afternoon. First off, I'm a Christian conservative teacher here in Paso. And Kenny, I want to thank you.
For
all the stuff that you've done in the school district, where I think you've allowed people to, like myself, to breathe and be able to express an opinion to a certain extent to where it should be expressed with administration and other teachers when you talk to them. My question is, going back to Dora, as a teacher, am I not supposed to talk about communism, the facts of what went on historically, how it was a failed system and an abusive system, because it's political?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Well, no. Go ahead. I was going to add a little bit. Go ahead.
According to administrators, no. And if you go and you read the rules, you know, what's the saying? The tyranny of ambiguity. The rules are written in such a manner that you can make them agree either way, depending on whatever your political leanings are. I think it should be taught. I think it should be regularly taught, and that you should have people like Dora come in and address regularly what she had to go through.
What she experienced as a child growing up in the communist Romania.
Trying to test my education here, but there is no ambiguity about communism.
No, there's not,
there are facts of what they did and how it didn't work and how it's collapsed.
And every time that communism is the law of the land, where the state becomes God, and any time you have communism in history, you have huge, huge numbers where people are murdered, disappeared, etc.
it's over 100 million, I think, in the 20th century. I always talk about it. It was like, I don't know if you guys remember the old McDonald's signs where underneath they'd have
16 million served.
Yeah. That's what I always think about with, you know, millions killed under communism. One of the things I was just going to sidebar that always fascinated me, and I talked to a colleague about this one time, is how people on the left call people on the right fascist. And I'm going, wait a second. It just drove me nuts because if you understand anything about a fascist system, what they do is they put the state, or the goals of the state or the aims, over that of the individual. Historically in our country, we put the individual over the aims of the state in terms of, hey, life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. You go out and do what you need to do to make yourself and your situation better, and that's going to make the country better. The fascism is putting the state over that of the individual, which is what leftists do. They want bigger government. They want the goals of the state. And just from that foundation of the ignorance of calling somebody on the right, if you're a true conservative, you want limited government. You want to give people freedom to go make their choices. You're for free markets. It's always drove me crazy. But I coming back to the point here, it seems like there are people in the district that get to espouse their views, and then others, which I'm all cool with nobody espousing their views, but why is it that it seems that some people get to espouse theirs, and then something as I think it, insignificant, even though it is significant if you follow me here, talking about the facts of communism? No, a teacher can't do that, or somebody can't come in and experienced the ills of communism, can't come on campus and talk about it. It's crazy.
Well, and actually, that's what we need, is more people to talk about history. And history, in a way, you know, certainly you can say that it's told by the victors, but at the same time, our country is built on individual liberty. And the totalitarians, I mean, that's what they are. That the totalitarians hate the concept of individual liberty. It's about collectivism. It's about, you know, the state. And so teaching the children history in the context of here's how we got here. And I know personally, when Dora was speaking at the Tea Party meeting on Monday, I related to that, even if it was a brief 10-day portion of my college education was spent in what was the USSR at that time, the Soviet Socialist Republic. And I went to Leningrad. It was called Leningrad, and went to Moscow. And for that 10-day period, I can tell you, it was very different. And you knew what an oppressive society was. And the people, the local people, were lovely. But when she was talking about her childhood, I was back in the flash of exactly what was happening. And we met with the communist leaders. And I just looked at him and I thought, he does not believe what he is saying. And he's almost soulless. And it kills your soul.
It's sort of like when you have to look at the 6'2" dude in a dress and address him as woman, otherwise it's hate speech.
No, that is insanity.
It's funny you say that, Kenny, because one of the things that I believe about communism is that, isn't it the whole idea that everybody's the same and you're a cookie cutter, you don't step outside of your role? So what happens to identities? You know, we have all these people with different identities in our country, but if you have to be the same and you get the same and you have to think the same, that's the big thing, and thinking the same, what does that leave for that person that wants to wear that dress? What does that leave them?
Eventually, they get consumed by the system. But if you look at the Weimar Republic in Germany, I think that's the classic example of what's going on in the United States now. You know, there's an effort to completely debase society. You know, society, you collapse the dollar, you collapse the pillars of society. You get people to say that black is white and white is black, boys or girls, etc. And you sow the seeds of chaos so that the strong man or woman can come in and, you know, establish the dictatorship.
I believe it's a war on God. It is for the spiritual soul of the country.
All right, keep fighting. We appreciate you.
There's fascism right there. Okay, thank you.
All right.
Thanks for taking his stand.
The winner of the pig hunt was correct. or close, the closest, with 65 pigs. It was 60 pigs last night. So I will send you a text. You guys have a great week, and hopefully we'll have bacon next week.
If you want to go down to the county clerk's office and observe the counting of the ballots, there's only about 9,000 left. They've done a much better job. All next right. week, I want to hear about your voting experiences.
This hour of Sound Off was brought to you by Mid-State Precious Metals across the parking lot from the movie theater in Atascadero. Honest, veteran-owned. Buy or sell precious metals with integrity. Monday through Friday, 10 to 3.
AM 1230 KPRL, 99.3 FM, KPRL.com, Paso Robles, Atascadero, Templeton.